when you need to talk technology. No one gets you more gigs in your hard drive than Adam. It's time for Adam the Computer Guy with Adam Lepp.
And a very good Thursday morning to you. January 3rd, 2019, the first live Adam the Computer Guy radio program of this year. Thank you so much for listening. I tell you, boys and girls, men and women, and everybody else, we've got lots of good stuff for you in 2019. If you thought 2018 was awesome, well, this will be awesomer. You ain't seen nothing yet, my friends. Scott Spears, the interviewer to the stars, he has all kinds of cool stuff and famous people ready to hit the airwaves and share the microphone with us. Of course, Charlie Evers, our local radio legend, sounding as good as ever. Recently started programs like A Progressive Life with Glenn Coble, Over the Back Fence with Steve Whitaker, also hosts The Pastor's Spot on Tuesday for you, much, much more. Please keep your radio right where it is. There's really no reason to listen to any other station if you're in the Marion area. Frequency modulation, you know, FM 107.1 megahertz on your dial, or anywhere in the world via our website, WWGH1071.com, or on your smart device, TuneIn is a good app to use to listen to our fantastic station. So anyway, this is the Adam the Computer Guy radio program where we talk today's top and trendy technology topics. Of course, like any program hosted by yours truly, there will be ample wisecracks. And I'm not one to shy away from providing my opinion. If you don't agree with me, that's fine. If you do, well, that's fine too. If you just want to talk about the show, provide an opinion, suggest a topic, or even be a guest, that's wonderful. As I've told you, we have a private email server, just like Hillary, but we read every single message, so don't be afraid to email me, because I will read your message top to bottom, adam@wwgh1071.com. Very much love to have you as a participant in some fashion. You may have heard about Apple's stock taking a nosedive, the company losing billions and billions of dollars in value. We'll cover that story shortly, and then some assorted computer news. Some new gadgets for you, and other tidbits that you will find interesting, educational, and very possibly controversial. Last but not least, if you ever miss an Adam the Computer Guy radio program, that's okay. Go to our website, and you can go to the archives, WWGH1071.com, to listen to the program of your choice. Be sure to bookmark our website. Make it a favorite. Tell your friends and family about it. Hey, let's do what? Let's talk tech. Yes. Time to put a little scotch tape on the glasses. Time to get geeky. Get a cup of coffee or some other beverage, because it's still fairly early, at least for me. And turn the volume up. Let's learn something. Let's stimulate a brain cell or two. Here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. In computer business news, one of your big tech companies worth zillions of dollars is, of course, Apple. However, Apple is now worth a few zillion less than it was since the last time we talked. They have slashed their estimated revenue for the first quarter of 2019 after they saw fewer iPhone upgrades than expected. And we've talked about the cost of the iPhone X or iPhone X, where, you know, X, I think, stands for expensive. And many people, including many of my Facebook friends that proudly attach selfies of this device, many people have gotten it. But, you know, considering that it costs as much as an inexpensive used car, some people are hesitant to purchase it. In a letter to investors, CEO Tim Cook outlined why Apple was forced to lower its projected revenue to $84 billion. Well, that's still a lot of money. However, the original range was $89 billion to $93 billion. They called out in its previous earnings release in November. So again, lowering it by between $5 and $9 billion. That's a lot of clams. CEO Tim Cook cited economic weakness in China as one of the primary reasons behind the iPhone slowdown. Other factors impacting the revised guidance were difficult comparisons due to Apple's latest smartphone launches, as well as supply constraints. You may have heard about the Apple stock, the shares of Apple. Well, not unexpectedly, due to this great decrease in projected revenue, shares of Apple plummeted quite a bit. Well, how much did they plummet? Well, they went down about 7.5% to $146.23 in after-hours trading. The stock's plunge managed to wipe $55 billion off of their value. Look at that. In one after-hours trading session, $55 billion smackaroos. That's based on the company's market cap at the end of trading on Tuesday, January 1st. The revised guidance is a rare move for Apple, one that it hasn't made since more than a decade ago in 2002, according to the experts. Tim Cook said, "Today we are revising our guidance for Apple's fiscal 2019 first quarter, which ended on December 29th. CEO Tim Cook said our revenue will be lower than our original guidance for the quarter, with other items remaining broadly in line with our guidance. While it will be a number of weeks before we complete and report our final results, we wanted to get some preliminary information to you now. Our final results may differ somewhat from these preliminary estimates." Aside from its lower revenue guidance, Apple reduced its gross margin to 38%, down from its previous outlook of between 38 and 38.5%. Taking a look at this chart here online, and really amazing to see that. 7.5%, and how much that affects Apple's value, $55 billion. A very valuable company still, but they may have jumped the gun a bit with estimates of profits and people getting this fancy-dancy, expensive iPhone X, or is it the iPhone 10? Tech news and views here on The Talking Place, the Adam the Computer Guy radio program, WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. So what are the smart and creative and innovative people over at Google up to this time? Well, you may have heard of the idea of controlling a smart device through a hand gesture, not just a finger swipe or by talking, just by a hand gesture. Don't even have to touch or necessarily be near the device. Well, back in 2015, gosh, that was 4 years ago. Time flies, doesn't it? Google got federal approval to continue the Tiny Radar project. Project Soli is what it's called. They got approval to continue it at higher power levels for better accuracy. Now, Google's been working on this as an experiment, this Tiny Radar project, for many years. You know, 3 or 4 years in computer time, that's a lot. Anyway, so what's this all about? Well, instead of tapping directly on a screen, this Tiny Radar project involves using gestures like rubbing your thumb and index finger together to control a smartwatch or smart speaker. That looks interesting. Now, with this kind of technology, you could potentially turn on a JBL smart speaker by moving a hand closer to it, or turn music on or off with a flick of your fingers. How about that? The tiny radar sensors inside the speaker would sense your hand motions. Now, after a debut as a prototype, Project Soli hit a road bump because the radar, not unexpectedly, wasn't accurately noticing user gestures, and it had trouble picking up every motion. And that would be expected. Body temperature, etc., that can vary. And this requires a lot of precision, a lot of trial and error on the developer's end. So users could only attempt a limited number of gestures that a smartwatch could pick up. Google attributed these problems to the low power levels the smartwatch had to operate on due to the FCC's restrictions. Now, back in March of last year, And that was 2018, of course. Google applied for a waiver from the FCC to operate at higher power levels. Initially, Facebook, you know, a big player there in the smart device arena, protested that giving Google higher radar levels could mess with existing technology. But after the two companies held discussions, they reached a compromise. Wouldn't it be nice if our politicians could compromise like Google and Facebook do? Two big companies that respect each other, but certainly are big rivals. They can go ahead and compromise on this kind of stuff. And I really think our politicians could learn a lesson from them. Anyway, Google agreed to lower power levels than what they had initially proposed. In exchange, Facebook backed down from opposing this FCC waiver. That's according to Reuters. Back on New Year's Eve, the FCC granted the waiver after determining that Project Soli could serve the public interest and had little potential for causing harm. The approval means that Soli can move forward, bringing us closer to a future with interactive, touchless smart speakers and displays. The technology could potentially add more functionality to smartwatches, which have tiny displays that can be awkward to use. It could also help users who have slight mobility or tactile impairments. So, moving forward on the idea of using hand gestures without actually touching a smart device like a smartwatch to control it. And as we discussed, definitely a boon for those with a handicap or a mobility, dexterity, tactile deficiency. And that, I think, is a wonderful step. I mean, one interest of mine certainly is the handicap-friendly nature of a lot of these devices. And I think in this case, that's especially relevant. So what else is new in the smart and cool technology front? Of course, there's good and bad news, and sometimes some of the news is also a bit on the amusing side. That's okay. You know, laughter is the best medicine. Two hackers have teamed up to promote Felix PewDiePie Kjellberg by forcing TVs to display a message encouraging people to subscribe to his YouTube channel. The hack takes advantage of a router setting that makes smart devices like Chromecasts and Google Homes publicly viewable on the internet. So, you know, not a good thing really on the surface, but I think it's kind of amusing, if you want my opinion. Anyway, these attackers are then able to gain control of the devices and broadcast videos on a connected TV. So again, you got to watch out for this vulnerable technology. You know, I do giggle, but this is kind of a serious issue. Now, this attack is being referred to as Cast Hack. It's being conducted by two hackers, Hacker Giraffe and J3WS3R. A website for the attack claims to count the number of TVs forced to show the PewDiePie message and currently says more than 3,000 have been affected. While it's not clear that this is an accurate number, it has reset several times. A number of people posted on Reddit that the video had appeared on their television. Google says it has received reports from people who had, quote, an unauthorized video played on their TV via a Chromecast device, but said the issue was the result of router settings. Both Hacker Giraffe and Google said the best way for affected users to fix the issue is to turn off universal plug and play on their routers. It's the second time that Hacker Giraffe and J3WS3R have teamed up to promote PewDiePie with quirky, if disruptive, hacks. Both said they were behind a hack in November that forced printers around the world to print out sheets of paper telling people to subscribe to PewDiePie. That's PewDiePie. The hack occurred during the height of Kjellberg's ongoing battle with another YouTube channel, T-Series, which is close to passing his subscriber count. So kind of playing dirty to increase viewers of your YouTube channel. Again, kind of humorous, but does show vulnerability. And so I may laugh, but really is kind of a serious and potentially dangerous problem. Hacker Giraffe said their attacks are more about exposing vulnerabilities than promoting Kjellberg's channel. Their website says, "We want to help you, and also our favorite YouTubers, mostly PewDiePie. We're only trying to protect you and inform you of this vulnerability before someone takes real advantage of it." And, you know, I guess that's logical, before somebody really bad who could be dangerous, who could infect a computer, etc. So I understand their point. CastHack is meant to remind Google of security flaws, according to Hacker Giraffe. That includes sensitive data being leaked and the ability to reset Chromecasts from afar. Hacker Giraffe said the attack doesn't gather or save any information from affected devices. It just renames them and forces them to play their YouTube video. In December of last year, the Wall Street Journal's website was also hacked to promote Kjellberg's channel, but Hacker Giraffe said they were not involved. They said the Wall Street Journal one was harmful and goes against what we stand for. So some, I wouldn't say benign hacking, because that's a bit of an oxymoron, but some less than dangerous hacking, which also shows the vulnerability of these devices. So I definitely see what they have to say. Bottom line is, folks, when you use your gadgets, be careful and look at the appropriate security settings. And as I say, ask your friendly neighborhood computer tech if you're not sure about something. And yes, if it does smell like a rat, well, it probably is. You've heard me talk about Windows 10, how I don't like it, and I'm not the only person. I've had experience recently at a client where networking on Windows 10 is actually much more difficult in some cases than an older operating system, but there are some settings you can change, and this particular problem I got to work, but believe me, I scratched my head a few times. Anyway, Microsoft finished last year as the world's most valuable company, but it also passed an important milestone for Windows. Windows 10 is now the most popular desktop operating system in the world, beating Windows 7's market share. But it took, you know, over 2 years to do this, which means people were not quick to adapt it. And I don't use it. I don't like it. I do support it with my service calls, but in my office, it is 7. In fact, I even use XP on some computers. But with some software, an older operating system works well. There are many reasons why I might pick a particular configuration, that's what I meant to say, on your computer. Anyway, in December of last year, Windows 10, 39.2% of desktop operating system market share, almost 37% for Windows 7. It's a statistic that's taken Microsoft 3.5 years to achieve, and it demonstrates just how popular Windows 7 has been since it was released almost 10 years ago. So it really took a while to get Windows 10 to have the popularity it does now, but I'm not the only person, especially computer type, tech type person, who is not anxious to migrate to 10. And if you are comfortable with 7, I encourage you to continue using it. Anyway, Microsoft had been planning to get Windows 10 running on a billion devices within 3 years of its release, but they soon extended that timeline after it was clear that Windows Phone could not help them achieve that goal. Now, currently, again, over 3 years since it's been released, Windows 10 is now running on more than 700 million devices, including PCs, tablets, phones, and even Xbox One consoles. That's kind of hard to say. Windows 7, though, has held on fairly strongly, despite Microsoft's big push to get PC users to upgrade for free, and even a marketing campaign saying PC does what? Designed to target consumers who have computers that are 4 or 5 years old. Now, the market share milestone is an important one for Windows 10, and it comes just a year before Microsoft ends its extended support for Windows 7 on January 14th of 2020. Microsoft will still need to convince businesses with deep pockets to upgrade to Windows 10 instead of opting for the extended security updates program for Windows 7 in 2020. You may remember Microsoft had a similar challenge to move businesses from Windows XP to Windows 7. And again, if you like what you have, I don't see a reason to rush to get the latest and greatest, because many times it's not the greatest. Honestly, I don't see anything with Windows 10 that provides a benefit. It does copy files quickly. I kind of like that, but compared to the problems with it, the fact that one update can turn the computer into a paperweight, that networking doesn't function the same way, it doesn't let you configure things as customizable. Is that a word? Customizably? Customize stuff as much as older operating systems, like installing a printer, for example. It often does a good job finding printers and installing them, but sometimes it doesn't. And when it doesn't, and you try to kind of get it to set it up a printer or a scanner or other device manually, it kind of gives you trouble because it wants the wizard to do it. The problem is sometimes the wizard isn't that smart. And I think Windows 7, like XP, had a good compromise between automatically doing things with the wizard and letting you kind of do them on your own. And Windows 10 kind of takes some of that control away. In addition to the fact that the start menu is useless, you can make it look like Windows 7, but the start menu that it comes with is, I hate to say quirky, because, you know, I'm quirky, and I think quirky is a good word, so instead I'll just say dorky, next to useless. Again, you can make Windows 10 look like Windows 7 with an assortment of free plugins, but I think it should come with a useful start menu out of the box, like XP and 7 or even Vista do. So we'll see if people continue to adopt Windows 10 as their operating system, if they migrate from 7, or if people are like me and kind of stubborn and going to keep 7 or even XP on the computers in their office setting. So we'll revisit this throughout the year and see exactly how it's doing, because we kind of do that stuff here on the Adam, the Computer Guy radio show, where we talk about technology, and you will hear opinions, good, bad, and different, and oftentimes comical, from yours truly. Also, in tech news, we talk about smart devices, which sometimes really aren't all that smart. How about smart doorbells? Well, August appears, not the month, the company, August appears to be close to launching a redesigned doorbell camera as its first new hardware since being acquired by the giant lock conglomerate Assa Abloy in 2017. Images of the new doorbell have been uncovered. Looks like a big improvement from the original model, which didn't look much like a doorbell at all. You've been to homes where people have these smart doorbells with a video of you knocking on the door. You know, you can see the pizza man, the delivery person, paper boy, somebody knocking on your door who might be a salesperson or might not be somebody you want to visit, kids' friends knocking on the door, etc. I can sometimes log the times that the doorbell was rung, etc. You can do all kinds of fun things you couldn't do with the old-fashioned doorbell that your grandma had. Anyway, this smart doorbell could be launched alongside a Chime. The Chime accessory doesn't appear to have a name yet, but it would be a smart addition since competitors like Arlo and Ring already have similar options. There's no word yet on a release date or pricing. They've not even announced the devices yet. But with the Consumer Electronics Show around the corner, we might not have to wait too long before we learn more. Now, it's been more than a year since August. Again, the company, not the month, introduced new hardware, but they've not been entirely quiet. It launched new software features and integration, including an in-home delivery service and further Google Assistant support. Now that it's part of Assa Abloy, August has been bringing its smart technology to the company's other locks. So, all kinds of interesting tech news for you here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio program. Thank you for listening. This is The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Are you a Microsoft Xbox user, or maybe someone got a gift of an Xbox courtesy of your generosity, or vice versa? Well, as you may have heard, Microsoft is going to put out a new version of the Xbox in the near future, and they are continuing their reptile-themed codenames for the Xbox consoles. Now, the original Xbox One was codenamed Durango. The Xbox One X took the arachnid-themed Scorpio codename. Now, it appears that the next generation Xbox, which will arrive in 2020 is codenamed Anaconda. Windows Central first reported new code names for Xbox recently, and they say Microsoft is preparing to ship two new consoles as part of its overall Scarlet next-generation Xbox plans. So, exciting stuff in the future for Xbox aficionados. Now, the codename Anaconda will be the equivalent of the current Xbox One X, but improvements in hardware and processors and graphics from AMD, the second largest maker of processors after, of course, Intel. One nice thing also is Anaconda may include the SSD, the solid-state drive, which is faster than the standard disk drive, as storage to reduce game load times. To me, that's a big step. Microsoft is also reportedly preparing a second console, just to make things more complicated, codenamed Lockhart, that will act as the more affordable Xbox, like the Xbox One X, Xbox One S. See, even I'm getting confused. I guess S stands for somewhat less expensive. Anyway, got all that? That's good. So Anaconda, again, coming out, saying in 2020, but you never quite know about these computer timelines. And again, Lockhart being the more affordable version of that Xbox. Better storage, SSD to make games load quicker, better hardware, graphics, and faster processor. So a lot of good improvements. Now, if you're wondering about backward compatibility, not a problem. They will support Xbox and Xbox 360 games and Xbox One titles. I think Microsoft doing a pretty good job with their gaming apparatus. Now, what's coming up in the near future? Well, in 2019, Microsoft could be preparing a disc-less version of the Xbox One S. This was reported in November, but Windows Central now claims that the software company, Microsoft, may announce this less expensive Xbox as early as January of 2019, with plans to ship it in the spring of 2019. More interestingly, Microsoft is also reportedly considering a disk-to-digital program that will convert physical disk libraries into digital ones. Microsoft did originally plan this same feature for the launch of the Xbox One, but they canceled it after the controversial always online requirements and disk sharing concerns. Microsoft's next console will include a big focus on the xCloud game streaming service. They're planning to open up public trials of the service in 2019, and it will make Xbox games available across PCs, phones, and consoles. So news there for video gaming aficionados, and taking a look at things that have happened in 2018, what do the experts say are the top 15 video games of 2018? We will just summarize a few of them. How about Beat Saber? Beat Saber, again, considered to be one of the top 15 video games of 2018. It is a mashup of Star Wars and Guitar Hero. Blocks of color fly towards you in time to the music, and you have to swat them away with a pair of humming light sabers. It manages to satisfy that long-held desire by many of us to wield a Star Wars laser sword, while also just being a great rhythm game. Celeste, not the former Ohio governor, Dick Celeste, but the video game Celeste. It looks like a typical platforming game, but it's so much more, telling a powerful story about overcoming mistakes. Also in the top 15 video games of 2018, Dead Cells. Dead Cells is a combination of brutal combat, constantly changing world, and incredibly fun abilities to unlock. Makes it impossible, in some cases, to stop playing. That is, it's quite addicting, like a lot of these video games can be. It feels like a classic, while still remaining very much its own kind of a game. Florence, okay, not the city in northern Kentucky, or the female name, or the city in Italy, the video game. It lasts less than 2 hours, but it manages to tell an incredibly powerful story within that relatively short time. What Florence lacks in originality, it makes up for by telling its tale in a way that only video games can. It chronicles the ups and downs of young love. As you go through the life of the lead character, you use simple interactions to mimic her everyday life, whether it's riding the train or just brushing her teeth. But when she falls in love, those interactions become more powerful and eventually stressful, racing to win the argument or choosing what to keep when you move. Short, sweet, and sentimental, and heart-melting. So with Valentine's Day, you know, not too far away, there's one for you. Florence, one of the top 15 video games of 2018. How about God of War? The big surprise isn't that it's good. The surprise is the things that the game succeeds at. The soft reboot of God of War for PS4 manages to take what the series is known for, over-the-top action set pieces, and combines it with a story and characters you'll actually care about. Gris, G-R-I-S. It is more than just a pretty face, but it certainly is pretty, according to, again, the experts who provided this list, the top 15 video games of 2018. Playing is like moving around a lush, hand-drawn space where the world changes and grows around you. It tells a simple story of bringing back color to a desolate landscape. Just lasts a few hours, but it makes a very big impact. Also on our list of some of the top video games of 2018, Into the Breach does things a little more differently than most strategy games. The turn-based game, which pits human-piloted robots up against gigantic kaiju forces, is focused on small-scale battles that usually involve just a few moves. You also get to see how your opponents will act before you decide on your strategy. Makes every single decision an important one, as you learn how to play over the course of several in-game timelines. A world of strategy opens up, kind of like chess with tanks and giant bugs. Not sure about that one. How about Monster Hunter World? Now, the Monster Hunter series has been one of those series that seemed resistant to change, offering up very similar experiences designed explicitly for its hardcore fan base. And that changed with Monster Hunter World. It brought modern sensibilities to the series with a huge world possible by modern consoles and a more seamless design that made venturing out into the wilds feel more natural. Pokemon. How could I possibly provide a list of top video games without Pokemon? Well, Pokemon Let's Go. There's a lot that could have gone wrong. It's a game meant to ease Pokemon Go players toward more traditional Pokemon games, and it could have ended up as a half-baked solution that didn't appeal to either audience. Instead, it streamlines the Pokemon experience, cutting away much of the cruft that the series has gathered over the years. Pokemon Let's Go ends up as the best of both worlds, perhaps the perfect entry point for a new Pokemon player. Red Dead Redemption 2. Now, it can feel that Red Dead Redemption 2 doesn't really want you to have any fun. It can be a bit slow, with fussy controls and underexplained mechanics. But it also has a depth and texture like no other virtual world before it. From the high-intensity action set pieces to the quieter moments, like riding on horseback or cooking a meal, Red Dead Redemption 2 is a game that will absolutely engross you if you let it. It's the closest you'll probably get to living as an outlaw in the Wild West. Return of the Obra Dinn. Now, initially, it seems mundane. Again, that's the experts, what they have to say, as we look at some of the top 15 video games of 2015. So, Return of the Obra Dinn initially seems mundane. A missing ship has washed up on shore. And as an insurance adjuster, it's your job to see what exactly happened. But it's not long before the game reveals itself to be something more. Aided by the power of a magical watch, you're able to explore the grisly demise of the Obra Dinn, all while cataloging clues and details in a book to determine the mystery behind its disappearance. They say keep a notebook handy. Well, how about Spider-Man? Well, Spider-Man is in many ways a typical open-world action game with a huge city to explore, New York City, which is where it takes place, an obscene number of collectibles to find, and lots of bad guys to beat up. But all those elements are made all the more enjoyable thanks to Spider-Man himself and his web-slinging abilities. It's a rare game where you'll want to track down a few dozen random objects just because it's so fun to move around the city. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. It's more than just a title for the latest Super Smash Bros. Series. The latest release in Nintendo's long-running character fighting series, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, improves on the previous versions by offering more of everything. More characters, a more robust single-player mode, more customization options, and more characters than ever before. It's so huge, you may have to wonder what the next game could do to make it better. Tetris Effect. Now, there is a classic video game, Tetris. That's been around possibly longer than some of my listeners. Not as long as I, but, you know, I'm certainly no spring chicken. But anyway, Tetris Effect manages to shake things up by layering a beautiful and surprisingly emotional layer of music, visuals, and storytelling over the familiar Tetris puzzle game. You're still trying to line up blocks to clear space and rack up a huge score, but this time it is an audio-visual journey, even better in virtual reality. Last but not least, Yakuza 6, the first proper current-generation game, is also a send-off for longtime leading man Kiryu. It offers the series' first realized rendition of Tokyo, but it doesn't sacrifice the quirky writing and thrilling combat that have made the Yakuza game so beloved. In fact, Yakuza 6 adds an extra layer of drama to the experience, putting Kiryu in charge of a young child for large chunks of the game. If this really is his last starring role, it's a great way to go out. So a lot of advances being made in video games, I tell you. Quite high tech compared to what came out back when I was, say, in college, you know, back in the Stone Ages. But interesting things to follow how video games and how they use processors, how they are similar in some ways to your desktop computer, laptop or tablet or smartphone in some ways, or kind of in their own world. Adam Lepp here, the Computer Guy, talking about technology of all kinds on the Adam the Computer Guy radio program on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Do you like keeping your area neat and tidy? Well, if you're like me, you like it neat and tidy, but making it into that condition probably is not one of your favorite things to do. Well, enter a robot. You know, robots can do almost anything nowadays, and cleaning, well, that's possibly one of them. Over in the Boston area, a lot of smart people over at Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, researchers at their computer science and artificial intelligence lab have developed a system to give robots a greater understanding of the random objects that fill our world and sometimes our closets. Similar technology could eventually help automate work in warehouses. For example, packing boxes for Amazon or assisting with cleaning in your very own private house, along with robotic cleaners like Roomba, the robotic vacuum cleaner that's been around a while, and we've talked about it. Pete Florence, the co-lead author of the paper, again, came from MIT, a lot of smart people there in the Boston area. He said, we want robots to learn by themselves how to very richly and visually understand lots of objects that are useful for lots of tasks. Now, robots already can be seen in some warehouses and assembly lines, and it's been that way for a while, but what they can't really do is learn what's clutter, what's junk, and what isn't. Robots can pick up and move objects, but they must be in a set position and location. Of course, with artificial intelligence, that could change. General assembly, like packing random items into a box at e-commerce warehouses, is the type of work that Homo sapiens, like you and I, do well. But with the technology over at MIT, a robotic arm could assist. It would know how to grab a mug, for example, by the handle, or a shoe by the tongue. The system learns more about the objects over time and eventually put items inside a box in a specific way. Now, to train this smart robotic arm, the researchers put groups of similar objects, like shoes, hats, and mugs, in front of it. The robotic arm moved the products around, examining their features and learning what they had in common. After analyzing different shoes, the robotic arm learned where the laces should be. Pretty cool. The test was done primarily on men's shoes, crowdsourced from staff members at the lab there at MIT. But if they put a stack of the stilettos in front of the robot, the researchers believe the robot could develop a good visual representation of high-heeled shoes, and obviously more difficult than the low or no heels that guys like myself tend to favor. Now, this research builds on some previous work in computer vision, deep learning, and robotics. The paper will be presented at the Conference on Robot Learning in Switzerland in October. Well, cool stuff. Robots becoming smart enough to know what is clutter and what isn't. How to recognize shoes by the different parts, especially the low heel or no heel shoes, but they could even possibly do it on high heels. Cool stuff. Goes well beyond what robots already do on an assembly line. Adam Lepp here, the computer guy, with tech news and views on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. And goodness sakes, time does fly when you're having fun, doesn't it? Almost time to conclude today's program. Hopefully you learned something, and I did tickle a brain cell or two, and maybe even invited some controversy. You agreed, disagreed, or was unsure about an opinion that I pondered or provided. That's okay. We like to invite dialogue here at the Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Speaking about talking, or talking about talking, Charlie Evers, the master of talking, a walking encyclopedia of the mid and central Ohio area. He gives away prizes, asks trivia questions, takes your calls. The man does it all. He's up next after the 10 a.m. features, and he'll be here until noon. Definitely stay right where you are. I can assure you, your brain, your ears, and if you have friends or family listening with you, they will all be very thankful. At 10 o'clock, we have news and weather, hosted by, of course, the interviewer to the stars, Mr. Scott Spears. Messages from our valued underwriters and supporters, some celebrity greetings and messages, and, of course, occasional wisecracks, previews of past, present, and future shows, and surprise or two, always on the agenda. Also, we have obituaries, which are updated usually several times a day, produced and voiced and engineered by yours truly during the 8, 10, noon, and 4 p.m. hours. So excellent, informative programming for you coming up at the top of the hour as Charlie gets ready to take on the airwaves here at The Talking Place, 107.1 on your FM dial. I do thank you for listening. We had a pretty short work week this week, so hopefully it will end on a good note. You have a good, safe, fun weekend. I will talk to you again Monday with probably my co-host of sorts, Dr. Ron L. Feynman, and a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the professor discussing current events, the latest tumblings, rumblings, jumblings, mumblings, and other things from our beloved President Donald J. Trump and his lovely wife, Melania, and his not-so-lovely older children, Donald Jr., Eric, Ivanka, etc. I sometimes confuse Ivana and Ivanka. I think Ivana was the ex-wife and Ivanka was the daughter, but if I'm wrong, that's okay. I do ask for your forgiveness just this one time. So we'll talk about all those fine folks and maybe about the wall, about the government shutdown, about the 2020 presidential election, and all kinds of good stuff. Again, that'll be Monday between about 10:13 a.m. and 11. Dr. Ron Feynman joining me on a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the professor. Of course, next Tuesday and next Thursday, after the 9 a.m. features, I once again talk today's top and trendy tech topics like I'm doing today on the Adam the Computer Guy radio program. Thank you again for listening. Send me an email at adam@wwgh1071.com. Last but not least, feel free to visit my website, adamthecomputerguy.com. See you later, alligator. What you told me nearly made me lose my head. When the thought of what you told me nearly made me lose my head. But the next time that I saw her, reminded her of what she said. See you later, alligator. Daddy, you know my love is just for you. She said, I'm sorry, pretty daddy.